So imagine opening up like a government spreadsheet, expecting to see some really mundane tax allocations, right? But instead, you find a literal survival manual detailing how clearing weeds is actually a primary defense against gender-based violence.
Yeah, it's definitely not your typical dry reading.
Right. So today's deep dive is exploring exactly that. We're looking at how the Western Cape government's 2025 to 2028 budget for environmental affairs and development planning balances these, massive economic growth goals with extreme climate pressures. And they're doing all this on a remarkably tight budget.
Exactly. And we are analyzing a landscape that has been completely reshaped by, well, severe 2024 floods, a staggering 42% staff vacancy rate, and this really startling connection between ecological decay and community security.
Wow, 42%. I mean, to understand how they're even attempting this, we have to look at the sheer operational chokehold they're under, right?
Oh, absolutely. The 2025, 2026 budget sits at about R669.9 million. But here's the catch. Nearly half of that is transferred immediately to Cape Nature.
Wait, so the regional body that actually manages the wilderness reserves gets half right off the top?
Yes, exactly. Which leaves the main department trying to hit these really aggressive growth for jobs economic targets. Well, like you said, 42% of their posts are completely unfunded over the medium term.
It's wild. I mean, it's less like a restaurant missing cooks and more like a sinking ship where the mechanics patching the hull are, well, the exact same people needed to navigate the storm.
That's a perfect way to put it. When compensation of employees is your biggest cost driver and your budget increases hover around like 3.8% against a projected 4.5% inflation rate,
you just can't hire anyone.
Right. Those hiring freezes just become permanent. They're legally mandated to process these complex environmental impact assessments, but the desks are mostly empty.
So you literally have to fix the boat using the water that's drowning you.
Yeah. Since they literally cannot throw bodies at the problem, they have to combine problems to solve them simultaneously.
Which is the driving force behind that One Health approach, right? I was looking at that.
Right. It operates on the premise that human, animal, and environmental health are fundamentally intertwined.
Yeah, I read that section in their 2024 State of Environment Outlook report, and the correlations are just wild. They map out how degraded environments directly worsen patterns of gender-based violence. But I actually need to push back here for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
Like, how does fixing ecological infrastructure, chopping down invasive alien plants, actually translate to societal safety? It sounds a little bit like an academic stretch, to be honest.
It sounds like it, yeah. But it's intensely practical when you look at the physical mechanism. So when invasive plants choke out a local water supply, women and girls who are, traditionally responsible for gathering water in many rural communities, they have to walk much further.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and they're forced to navigate through this dense, overgrown alien vegetation just to reach basic resources. That physical isolation in degraded areas directly increases their vulnerability to assault.
Wow. So clearing that brush and restoring the local water source actually removes the physical danger and the isolation. That makes total sense.
Exactly. Restoring the environment restores the physical foundation of the community's safety.
And that resource stress isn't just some distant threat for them. If you're tracking this region for yourself, water is the daily physical battleground right now.
It really is. And we're seeing this bizarre paradox play out. I mean, the dams can be completely full, but the region still faces severe water constraints.
Wait, how does that work if the dams are full?
Well, the water is physically there, but intense pollution, failing municipal wastewater infrastructure that's literally spilling raw sewage, and untreated runoff from industrial sectors, it all makes the water unusable.
That's crazy. So they are simultaneously battling the devastating impacts of too much water from floods and then too little usable water from pollution.
Precisely. Look at the unprecedented floods in mid-2024. They utterly devastated critical Cape Nature tourist sites like De Hoop and the Cedarburg Wilderness.
And those aren't just pretty parks, right? They are vital income-generating reserves.
Exactly. The department had to instantly pivot their heavily restricted funds just to repair roads and boardwalks. If they didn't, it could mean the collapse of their crucial ecotourism revenue. It's essentially a constant state of real-time triage.
So if you're looking at this from the outside, the main takeaway really isn't about conservation in the traditional sense anymore.
Not at all.
It's that modern environmental management is now the absolute front line of human safety and economic survival. I mean, every rand spent clearing a wetland or fixing a municipal pipe is an investment in keeping society from collapsing under climate pressure.
They are proving that ecological infrastructure is hard infrastructure. You just cannot sustain economic growth if the physical environment beneath it is washing away or, you know, poisoned.
That is such a powerful point, which leaves us with a critical thought for you to mull over. If repairing ecological infrastructure inherently improves social crises and secures economic stability, well, should we stop viewing environmental funding as a quote-unquote green luxury and start treating it as the ultimate socioeconomic safety net? Next time you see a government spreadsheet, ask yourself if it isn't actually a blueprint for survival.